Well, thank you very much for joining us on Pulse Radio. We have the Rugby Football League chairman, Simon Johnson. Simon, there was a significant Rugby League news announcement at midnight this morning, and that news, of course, was that the UK government will inject £16 million into Rugby League to help the game survive the current coronavirus pandemic crisis. What does that news, that announcement, mean for the sport of Rugby League?
Well, this is a tremendous shot in the arm for the entirety of the sport. There's been huge concern about this and about the impact of the coronavirus on our clubs and on the communities that they serve. But by the whole sport working together so hard to evidence the impact that Rugby League has in its communities, this work, this announcement from the government is hugely welcome, and I want to put on record for your listeners my thanks to the Secretary of State, Oliver Dowden, to the government, to the DCMS, for this vote of confidence in the sport of Rugby League, but also to all of those members of Parliament and others across the region who helped to make the case for the contribution that Rugby League makes to its communities, which I think helped the government to come to this very, very welcome decision.
As we know, Simon, the £16 million that has come from the government, it's an emergency loan for the sport. What conditions are there for how the Rugby Football League will distribute this money to the clubs?
Well, there's detailed conditions, and they are confidential, Mick, I'm afraid, and they are quite detailed. So for your listeners, I think that the important thing to remember is that this is intended to assist these clubs to survive, to continue to provide their services to the community, to continue to exploit the social dividend that we know that Rugby League has. And this gives us a real opportunity to reshape and restart our game. And the whole sport has worked together to get us to this point. It's now incumbent upon the whole sport to work together to absolutely ensure that what this gives us is a platform to build our sport and make it stronger for the future.
I guess it's keen to point out, Simon, that unfortunately those expansion clubs like Toronto, Toulouse and Catalan Dragons at this moment in time, they will not have access to this £16 million. What is the RFL doing to help those clubs?
Yeah, well, this is the UK government. They're under strict rules according to their own public sector rules that they can't allow funds that they distribute to be used for overseas clubs. So you're right, those clubs that are outside of England are not able to access this funding. So we are in conversation with those clubs to assist them as best we can to enable them to continue to be sustainable and to be able to continue to serve their own communities. But we can't do that with the government funding.
When can clubs start accessing this money? Because I'm guessing that's going to be a question on everybody's lips.
Well, we briefed all of the clubs this morning at 9 a.m. We've shared with them the details of how they can apply for this funding. It's going to come in instalments. Some money will be available very quickly, and there should be some funds able to be dispersed within the next couple of weeks. Other sums will flow not far behind that. These are intended to be emergency payments to assist clubs to continue to be sustainable and to continue to serve their communities. So we're able to move with this pretty quickly. We've got a robust process that we've put in place, agreed with government, and we're just establishing the steps that are necessary now, putting in place the resources at RFL headquarters to make sure that we can move this money to where it's needed and to allow the sport to reshape and to restart and to make itself as fit for the future as we can as quickly as possible.
And when you look at the impact Rugby League clubs have on their surrounding communities, especially those clubs based in the north of England, like Bradford, Halifax, Huddersfield, how important from an RFL point of view, Simon, is it that the government saw the great work our Rugby League clubs do in our communities?
Well, I think this is confirmation of what I've been saying for a while about why Rugby League is important. It's our unique selling point. It shows the value that we had in the report we published last year on the Rugby League dividend, which focuses on the economic and especially the social impact that our clubs have and our place in our communities, not just in the places you've mentioned, but all across the communities that play rugby league, is what has been established over 125 years. I mean, this is our 125th anniversary year, Mick, as you well know. And I think that this recognition by the government that, rugby league plays a deeper role in its community than merely the sport and the games that we play, that the contribution we make to the well-being and the social impact of the towns in which we operate is something that they want to preserve. And that's why the government was very clear about talking about the impact that we have on our communities and about ensuring that that legacy can continue to build out of our 125th year through the Rugby League World Cup 2021 next year, and then beyond that to a bright future for our sport.
You just mentioned the Rugby League dividend report. That obviously came out last year. How much of a part did that dividend report into the great work, you know, what takes place at grassroots in the communities, ultimately play in this decision, in your opinion?
I think it was very significant, Mick. I think that the report showed that we are a sport that punches well above its weight, that is a force for good in the communities in which we operate. We help to support people who might otherwise be left behind by society, and that, the people who volunteer, play, participate in our game are those people that don't particularly hit the metrics that often other organisations would need them to do, and so the social impact means that we have a reach of our sport into areas where the government normally can't get access. And I think it played a huge part, and I think that the towns and the cities in which we operate, rugby league is such a part of the fabric of the community that the government saw how important it is that rugby league should be enabled to survive.
Ralph Rimmer released a statement along with a press release, Simon, and I think it was quite poignant and pertinent. You know, rugby league is not a wealthy sport, but it is rich in the things that matter the most. You know, outstanding sporting and life chances in often disadvantaged communities.
Yeah, I mean, we impact disproportionately into disadvantaged communities. And nobody, I don't think anybody, Mick, should underplay the significance of this announcement. We are the first sport in this country to have received any specific support from the government. And I think that recognises the specific and particular and special role that rugby league plays in the communities that we serve. And I want to pay tribute to Ralph Rimmer, the CEO of the RFL, for the way that he and his senior team have led the sport through this crisis, and the many, many people who have worked who continue to work day in, day out, some paid, some voluntary, to keep our sport moving, to keep our sport working within the communities that we operate. And I think that everybody within the game should be very, very proud of the way that the government has looked at our sport and seen it as a force for good and something that is worthy of their support.
And you've just said the work that the RFL, Ralph Rimmer, Karen Morehouse, Tony Sutton, yourself, everyone involved in the RFL department, Simon, you know, this is not something that's just happened overnight. I'm led to believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, you've been working on this for 6-7 weeks now with the government.
Well, we have, specifically on this ask. The request went in really as soon as the COVID lockdowns were put in place. But it builds on, I think, work that's been done over many years, not just by Ralph and the team, but by the clubs building close links with their communities, by members of parliament, with the government, by the all-party group on rugby league in helping to sell the message of rugby league and to show how important it is, how special it is, how different it is. We're not a wealthy sport, but we absolutely are embedded in the fabric of our communities. In our 125th year, we can reflect how much we are part of the industrial heritage of this country. And I think that had we not been able as a community to build those relationships with those who make decisions in this country, I think that all the work that, we did might not have succeeded. And I think that the way that the RFL team have worked together with the whole of the game, with every club right the way across the structure, to put forward our case to government, has been recognised by the government's very welcome announcement this morning.
This year's massive for rugby league. It's a celebration, 125 years. Next year is arguably even bigger. The first time since 2013 this country is going to host a, a Rugby League World Cup. Again, Simon, how important is it that this money is used in the right places? You know, Ralph again has said it's not a gravy train. You know, this money is not just to be used willy-nilly. This is effectively, you know, keeping the sport on life support, hopefully, to weather the current coronavirus pandemic, which will see Rugby League in a fit, strong position next year, which, of course, is that World Cup year.
You're absolutely right, Mick. I mean, it's incumbent upon the whole of the game to continue to work together to ensure that this this funding is used to enable Rugby League to be able to reshape and restart and to come back stronger. And the prize most definitely is there for next year because, as you say, not only are we hosting the Rugby League World Cup, but we're hosting three tournaments at the same time. Not just a men's tournament, but a women's World Cup and a wheelchair World Cup. And I think this demonstrates the reach that Rugby League can have. I think the government saw how important it is and it will be for the Rugby League World Cup to take place in the towns and cities that have been selected as hosts, for the sport to be able to thrive in advance of it, for that to be a competition that can help to bring a real feel-good factor back, not just to the region, but to this whole country. I think looking forward to the Rugby League World Cup and enabling the sport to be thriving by the time October 2021 comes around was an important part of the government's thinking.
And just finally, Simon, once again, thank you very much for joining us. We know you're a very busy man. What challenges now does the sport of Rugby League face in the immediate future?
Well, the biggest problem will, of course, be to ensure that this money is used to enable us to be sustainable. And so it's very welcome. But as I said at the beginning, it's incumbent upon us now to ensure that the money is used wisely to give the opportunity for the sport to thrive as a whole. We keep saying that we've got the chance to restart and to reshape our sport. That gives us a chance to look at the way that we're structured, to do things in the best possible way to make us as fit as possible for the future, and give us the best opportunity to take advantage of the opportunities that our 125th anniversary gives us, that the Rugby League World Cup gives us, to build a really strong future for our great game. It is a great game. I think the government has recognised the contribution that it makes to our communities, and I think this gives us the opportunity to deal with the real challenges in a really strong way. Now, in due course, Mick, we'll be able to talk about whether and when and how we'll be able to restart, but there is no question that this government support enables our clubs to do that as soon as the government makes clear how we can.